This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Less than 2 weeks away from our fifth annual Fan Fest, which is always a great time. We enjoy meeting all the listeners who come out. This year, it's at the brand new St. James Sports and Active Entertainment Center in Springfield, Virginia. Entry and most activities are free for the whole family. It's presented by the Purple Heart Foundation. You can get details at thefandc.com/fanfest. But here's the deal. Get to meet all the personalities from 106.7 The Fan. Mm-hmm. There'll be some ex-Redskins like Santana Moss, D'Angelo Hall, and others. Chris Thompson is going to be there. Mike Morris, former Nationals slugger, will be doing a hitting clinic there. And you get to see the St. James, which is an amazing facility.
It is. I believe Valdez is out there for a golf workout in the last few days.
No, I just went to the gym. I didn't go to the golf bag. But
okay.
He was just racking them.
The gym has everything you can imagine.
Yep. It's amazing. It's
pretty awesome. Very high-end. Every single cardio machine has like a 30-inch HD touchscreen TV on it.
That's nice.
It's ridiculous.
Did you wipe it down when you were done?
I didn't use it.
You just walked by.
Yeah, I just walked by it.
Very good.
He watched some TV on it.
Sure, why not? You got some cardio walking through,
yeah.
Walking all over the complex, because it is 450,000 plus square feet. It's pretty damn big. Mm.
So where do you guys stand on this? A guy named Anthony Prince, who lives in New Jersey, went to the FanDuel Sportsbook in the Meadowlands up there.
I'm pro so far. I'm thumbs up on this so far.
Of course, Jersey is a legalized sports betting state. Mm-hmm. I think they were the first ones to get into it once, the federal government said, yeah, it's legit. You can go do what you got to do.
Right.
State by state has to decide how you want to work it. But so Anthony Prince made an in-game live bet, meaning during the game, certain odds are posted on, you know, win, losses, point spreads, totals, and you can bet on it in the game, during the game while it's going on. So he saw that the Broncos were plus $75,000 or plus $75,000 to beat the Raiders, and they trailed by 2 points at the time.
Okay.
Late in the game. I think it was a minute left.
Right.
And so he put $110 to win roughly $82,000.
I mean, it seems too good to be true to me at this point. Go ahead.
They would have paid $82,610. Of course, the Broncos went on to win the game.
Yeah.
With the last second field goal.
Mm-hmm.
20-19. So he went up to cash the ticket. They said, nah, sorry, bud. It was a glitch in our computer system. They were only plus 340.
Right.
Meaning $100 pays you $340.
Well, that makes more sense.
Well, I mean, if you know anything about betting, plus 75,000, just that's unheard of.
Right.
I mean, that's not something a sports book would post. But it did say it on the ticket.
Right.
So he went up there. He thought he was getting 82 grand back. Mm-hmm. And they said, nah, we'll give you $500. Since we effed up, we'll give you $500. And mm-hmm. we'll give you some free tickets to the Giants game.
Right.
The 0-2 Giants.
Right.
where do you guys stand on that?
I kind of think if he has the piece of paper, they should pay him. But it's so ridiculous. The erroneous odds that were posted were 750-1, and the correct odds were minus 600. He would have won a net $18.35. So to say a guy who would have won $18.35 deserves $82,000 mm-hmm. seems to be a stretch.
I mean, it's much like in a casino. If the slot machine glitches, they're going to tell you, you're finished. The machine has a glitch. We're not going to pay you.
It just seems like this outrageous payout.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't force them to pay you.
I mean,
you could take it to court.
Casinos make up their own rules. You could beat them in blackjack, you know, or beat them in baccarat, and they just won't pay you.
Right.
Like Phil Ivey, they said, no, we're not going to pay you.
Right, because he has it on paper. Rules. That almost seems, you know, contract. I don't know what the gaming laws are.
But I don't think, in fairness to the casino, and I have no affinity to be fair to any casino, but if they have a printout, they make a printing mistake, they just shouldn't necessarily be held on the hook for that. Like, if I print out a thing for you, and I even know, like, well, there's no, and you go, no, you,
right, you screwed up.
Yeah, you screwed up. No.
Yeah, I mean, if you deposit your check, you walk into the bank like I do every couple weeks,
right.
Deposit your check, and when you check your online account, it's 10 times worth or 10 times more than what you actually deposited.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're going to figure it out.
They're going to correct it.
They're going to correct it.
And you're gonna,
are you supposed to be awarded the, you know, that figure?
No.
They have rules. FanDuel's house rules, apparently, state that where a blatant or palpable error is made in offers made, prices offered, or bets accepted, or in the transmission of any event on which we have purported to offer live betting, bets may be settled at the correct price at the time at which the bet was placed, as determined by FanDuel Sportsbook.
They're covered.
Mm-hmm.
They do whatever they want.
It's actually super generous of them to give them $500 in tickets.
For an $18
win.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was sized, though. Thought he had 82K. You know you'd be sized.
Oh, of course. Of course
I've had
you would.
I've had a scratcher that I think that I had like a royal flush on.
Right? And then what happened?
Oh, big fat loser.
Why, you just didn't read the card correctly?
I couldn't read the card. It was like a poker hand thing.
Yeah, you read the board
and
wrong.
Then the guy that I went against had like 7-2, and then you have five different hands. I thought I won all five of them. I thought I won like 40 grand to the point where I called Rom and sent him a picture of it to verify it. And he told me, oh, he goes, you big dummy, you got backdoor flushed.
Here's a general rule in life. When you get extra money for no reason, it's usually too good to be
true. This is
going to
get tracked down.
Yes.
Like, I got double paid by Entercom. As soon as they took over, they had some issues with the payroll. And I was like, man, my paycheck is swole. I don't know what's going on. I don't think I read all
you
these spots.
You looked at that check? If you actually had a check, you're like, whoa.
And of course, within like 2 days, I get an email saying, stupid, you got double paid. We're going to have to dock you on like your next two paychecks to get the money back. And I didn't cause it. I wasn't like, oh, you double paid me. This is my money.
Right.
I was like, okay, somebody made a mistake. They're gonna rectify it. That's the way the world
works. The number, the $18 he would have been paid off was the number that he would have been paid once they corrected the odds. When he actually placed the bet, the $100 would have paid him $340 because they were plus $340. They were losing at the time. Now, once they corrected the odds, the Broncos had already taken the lead. The Broncos had already taken the lead. That's why it went down to $18.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
It's still generous, though.
Yeah.
If it was,
well, he should have got, I mean, $500 is, he should have got the $340 at minimum.
We all saw the story where the one guy, right, hit all 18 games or whatever. What are the slated games? How many games are there? 16.
Whatever,
16 games.
Yeah, if you include Thursday all the way through Monday.
Yeah, and $5 bet you saw, right? Paid him, I think, $80K.
Ooh.
He hit all of them.
Well, he deserves
now, ties.
When you hit that many games,
was he picking against the spread?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that
and
is
apparently
impressive.
Ties, though, unlike maybe with your bookie, ties count as a win for him. So even if he pushed,
okay.
17,000-1 odds.
Wow.
Means he took the Colts against the Redskins.
That's a sick hit by him.
Amongst others.
$5 bet paid
$80,000.
I mean,
it's unbelievable how lucky some of these people. I'm in this pool called the 8-0 pool, right? Everyone put in $110. There's like, I don't know, 400 people in it. And the only way to collect the weekly pot is to go 8-0, right, against the spread. They give you 8 games, which include the Thursday night game, the Sunday night game, the Monday night game.
So how many people are in this? How many?
At least 400, maybe closer to 500.
All right. So it's just a progressive jackpot.
Did
or whatever.
Anybody hit it in week 2?
How about they hit it in week 1 and week 2?
Oh, different people.
Two different people. They go 8-0.
And what's the weekly payout?
It's like $2,600.
How close
have
you gotten?
We went 5-3 and 4-4.
Right.
Yeah. Man,
it gets spread. It's tough.
Of course it is. Almost impossible. The fact that you hit every single game, it's hard to hit one game.
Right. By the way,
check Bish's best bets.
Our guy
hey,
Jeff Freeman.
I did it last night.
Our guy Jeff Freeman, who used to be with the American Gaming Association, he moved on probably because he did his job.
Yeah.
Sports betting is becoming more commonplace in more states. Obviously, you have the great sports book at Hollywood Casino now. At Charlestown Races in West Virginia.
Yes, you will.
And it appears that council member Jack Evans is introducing legislation in Washington, D.C. so that there will be legalized sports betting in D.C. by the start of next year's baseball season.
Good.
Like it. Look at that.
Good. You should be able to walk into a Walgreens and place a bet.
Now, is it basically... They're trying to get it into established like bars and restaurants before
bars, restaurants.
But the big one is using
too.
Your phone.
Okay,
yeah.
Using your
apps.
Phone in the district.
Got it.
And making bets, like literally making bets.
So
on
I
the next.
I can just loiter out in front of the Homewood Suites like next year.
You should be able
and
to.
I can make bets on my phone.
Yeah, you should
That's
be able to go
country.
Into your app. Go beep, 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 beep. All right, I like the skins plus the points.
Right,
and for $50, if you hit it, it should automatically go into your checking account.
I'm with you.
That's the way every
make it easy.
App should work.
Make it accessible.
Well, they're big on the live betting.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So any bet you win, it should just be attached to your checking account. because now online sports books are sometimes you got to use crypto, sometimes you got to use your credit card. You should be able to make
to use
a bet.
Crypto. I'm out. I'm just out.
That's I just want to be able to access my crypto.
I had to use that.
I understand you've got layers of security because, I mean, it's the wild, wild west. I mean, it's cryptocurrency. It's the preferred currency for, like, smugglers, international arms dealers, terrorists. I understand. But I just want to be able to access the little bit of nublets that I have in crypto. It's almost impossible to get your hands on
it. It's impossible. I mean, I had to go to your boy Mikey. Stocks. I had to drive all the way to a farm.
Yeah.
I had to take the White's Ferry. I didn't even know where I was going.
Yeah. For him to help you cash your chips?
He's got this big-ass house on a farm. Right. I don't, no one else lives there. I had to walk in here to show me for an hour how to get my Bitcoin
Well,
money.
Eventually, I'll probably have to do the exact same thing.
Because I couldn't figure it out. Anyway, you should be able to place a bet anywhere, especially on your phone, and that goes right into your checking account after you win or lose.
Right. Yeah, Evans, who's the councilman, said he's betting the D.C. could get anywhere from $10 million to $200 million a year in revenue.
It's a pretty big range.
So they're going to do that. Well, you know, they probably don't want to highball it. He says he's not personally a gambler, but he says, I can envision a time where I can be sitting in my living room watching a baseball game or at Nats Park and bet $5 that Bryce Harper will swing at the next pitch. Last night.
Yeah, that's what live betting is all about.
Last night.
Oh, I saw he had three walks. He finished with five.
Look, anything that'll make them less aggressive with parking enforcement and tickets, I'm all for it in D.C.
I didn't watch much of the Nats. I popped it on for a few seconds. Why wasn't Victor Robles playing? Guy just hit a home run. He's your future. And then they play the traditional Soto, Eaton, and Harper outfield.
Well, you know, Harper wants his at-bats.
I don't mind playing Harper and Soto. Play Robles. I don't need to see Eaton anymore.
Yeah, but Eaton...
Was
Robles
a
veteran?
Was he used at all?
I don't even think he pinch hit.
Oh, okay. Well, they don't care anymore. They know what Robles can do.
But you know, Harper wants to finish. He wants to finish, get his numbers up as best he can.
Play Harper. I have no problem.
Yeah,
it's
just
Adam
don't play
Eaton.
Eaton's been killing the ball.
Okay,
he went 2 for 3 last night.
I know what I have. No,
Robles pinch hit.
Okay, he did pinch hit.
Yeah, he walked.
He should be starting.
And then he played center field for an inning.
So who got the win last night? Strauss pitched, right?
Strauss.
Hey, 11 strikeouts.
I think he's 3-0 since he came off the DL.
Remember, I told you.
A little too late.
He's always going off the DL, but this is like
They needed him in July.
Yeah.
When he missed like 10 starts.
It looks like Max is out of the running on the Cy Young, right? He's out on that.
Why is he out?
Well, I just think, hasn't DeGrom just pitched amazing down the stretch?
DeGrom's been great, but I don't know if he's out. I mean, he might be... DeGrom might be odds on favor, but
yeah,
it depends on the voting, right?
I don't know. Just the way I've been reading it, I think, I don't know.
I mean, let's see what DeGrom's current ERA is. 1.78. Scherzer's 2.53.
Yeah.
Problem is he's got the 17 wins.
Yeah, but you can't compete with that.
And he's got 277 strikeouts.
Yeah, and what is DeGrom at?
251.
Yeah, they're going to give it to DeGrom.
They might. Yeah, I mean, 1.78. It's hard to beat that.
I can't beat that.
Does DeGrom even get to double figures in wins? I know there are all these seam heads who say wins don't matter.
Let's see. He's got 8, so he would need
8 wins.
I don't know when his pathetic, next. But yeah, he's going to win it. DeGrom's going to win it.
I don't know. It might be.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to talk some college football is Houston Nutt, now college football analyst for the CBS Sports Network. You can catch him throughout the season on Inside College Football. Texas A&M takes on Alabama for the SEC Game of the Week, Saturday at 3:30. What's up, Coach?
Hey, how we doing?
So right now, college football looks to me that there's 3 or 4 teams that have just separated themselves, and Alabama, of course, is one of them, and teams don't even look like they can compete with them. Can Texas A&M make it a game this weekend?
You know, one thing that's been impressive about Texas A&M, let's go back to the Clemson game. I thought Jimbo Fisher really had his team ready to go. We know how good Clemson is. Their front seven's probably as good as there is in the country. You know how explosive they are. But I thought A&M really played hard and played with so much energy and really had a chance to win the game. Now, saying all that, they're going to a tough place to play, playing this team that there's no one that says next better than Coach Saban, and he says next. He lost so many players last year on the defensive side, and you'd think the average coach and team would say, oh, my goodness, I lost 8-9 starters, most of them to the NFL. How in the world am I going to replace this team? He does it. And these names, you know, especially in the secondary, we're starting to learn. We're starting to they're starting to grow on us. But that it starts at that front. They're always good in the line. And this is a very tough place to go play. And but I do think Texas A&M will play with some energy and play with some confidence. I think this will be a good football game.
Now, Coach, you could argue that A&M had opportunities to win that game against Clemson, right? Alabama's a 28.
That's right.
Alabama's a 28-point favorite over A&M. I mean, I can't believe what Alabama did to Ole Miss. They beat Ole Miss like they were an FCS team, right? And that's a pretty explosive Ole Miss team with NFL receivers on it.
Yeah, and Ole Miss got on the board first, and then it was lights
right,
out.
Right. I mean, that's unbelievable. What was more surprising, that score or the fact that A&M played tight with Clemson?
Well, to me, it was A&M playing tight with Clemson, because I really felt I didn't know what to expect. I just thought Clemson would win by 25 or 30. I really did, but you know, you see how hard they play and really to give themselves a chance in the fourth quarter really it impressed me. And you mentioned Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss gets on the board first, as you mentioned, and they think things are going to be fine. But lo and behold, you know, here comes Alabama, and I mean, just. So the execution and precision of everything is just awesome. And they can beat you in so many ways, whether it be on defense, special teams, or offense. And now with Tua Tagovailoa, this guy is just something how he can get the ball down the field now.
Yeah. So if Alabama, let's just say they destroy A&M, they cover the point spread, they win the game by 30. What would that tell you, Houston Nutt, about the difference between Alabama and Clemson?
Well, you know, sometimes it's hard to compare games, but the thing that we've grown accustomed to, that we're getting used to, ever seem like every year, Coach Saban has the number one recruiting class or close to it the last 5 or 6 years. And so I've never seen a coach to be able to just keep the foot on the pedal the way he does. And when he wins a national championship, it's about 24 hours and they're right back at it, where most coaches will take a deep breath. So what it tells me is this, that he knows how to reload. He knows how to develop them. And they've just been so dominant. This team has been dominant the last few years. And they're just they're big-time winners.
So Jimbo Fisher leaves Florida State for Texas A&M. Willie Taggart steps in. So far, it's been an abject disaster. They've been dominated by Virginia Tech. They get blown out on the road against Syracuse. They had a squeaker against Samford. Not Stanford, Samford. And after a relative cupcake,
not Stan, Sam.
Right. NIU comes to Tallahassee this week. But after that, they have to go to Louisville. They have to go to Miami. They're home to Wake. And then they have to go to number 3 Clemson. So it's only going to get tougher for Taggart and company at this point.
It is. You know, sometimes change is hard, and the transition isn't a smooth one. And, you know, we've seen some coaches, you know, when you look at some big-time names, you know, Scott Frost. Did a tremendous job at UCF. You look at Chip Kelly. We all know about his resume at Oregon. And now, you know, Willie Taggart taking over Florida State. You know, things hadn't gone well. And sometimes, you know, the change is very, very hard for an 18, 19, 20-year-old that are changing terminology, they're changing philosophy, changing the packages on offense and defense. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. And, of course, you know, the fan base, everybody wants to win yesterday. Patience is not one of those words that anybody wants to hear. It's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned Chip Kelly, and they're struggling, right? They're off to an 0-3 start, and now even parents are starting to get involved. Michael Robinson, the father of the starting quarterback there, he's now criticizing Chip. Called him a million-dollar coach who bears no responsibility, goes on and on and on. I never understand that. I mean, you're just making that situation chaotic. There's no way that helps your son. And your son's relationship with the coach, even if the coach loves the kid. Have you ever had a situation like that? How would you handle that?
Matter of fact, I have had a situation like that. You know, it's tough. because it is such a big distraction. And, you know, as the head coach, you know, you're responsible for about 125 players and responsible for putting the team out there and putting the best players out there. And you're trying to win. And, you know, it's very difficult. It's always hard when there's that kind of distraction. But that's what losing does. That's the thing that's so difficult. It's such a bitter pill to swallow. When things aren't going right, it seems like there's always more people in the training room. There's more people that got a problem outside of football. It's amazing when you're winning. Hey, things are going great. And you don't hear from parents, and everybody's happy, and
right.
And hey, they're going to school, and everybody's not in the training room. They want to play, and so you know, it's just that's the difference to me. It's a fine line between winning and losing. But I think the biggest thing a coach has to do is, hey, look, your biggest responsibility is you're responsible for that team and putting the best players you possibly can out there on that field to win.
Well, the other thing, coach, that you didn't have to deal with was the social media factor. I mean, guys really have to, parents have to, and coaches too, have to think about what they're saying before they press send. And sometimes they don't. They just react.
And if you put it out there, you can delete it. It's out there forever. People screen cap it. It's not going away.
I mean, sometimes these parents are so pissed off, coach, you know it. And if they're so pissed off at you, they're going to send something out there. And an hour later, they probably wish they didn't. But that's the other thing that you didn't have to deal with as much.
Yeah, not as much. It got started,
yeah.
And it's come. But now it's, as you say, it's at a whole different level. No mm-hmm. question about it. And you almost need one guy to kind of monitor just what your players are saying, you know, about the upcoming opponent, all those things. Much less parents. But no, you're exactly right. You know, it's just one more thing. It's one more distraction, and that's where when you shut that door, that team room, and you turn all phones off, and you say, hey. It's you and I, especially when you have a bad loss. Hey, look, nobody's patting you on the back right now, so it's about us, and it's us against the world, and you have that attitude, and you try to give them the best plan to win, and that's all you can do. And I tell you, it's hard to let go of that outside noise when there's so much going on.
All right, Coach, we know you got to go. Let's talk next week. A lot of big games next week to talk about, including Ohio State and Penn State. All right?
Thank you, Coach.
All right. Sounds good.
All right,
thank you.
Coach Houston Nutt, now a college football analyst for CBS Sports Network. You can catch him on Inside College Football, Texas A&M, Alabama's 3:30. 28-point line, man. Is Tua the leading Heisman candidate right now?
I don't know if he's the leader.
Still early. Certainly, the still quarterback from Oklahoma, Murray.
I mean, Will Greer's in the mix.
I don't think he's that tall.
Because Bryce, he's not. He's probably 6 foot.
Six foot, but yeah. And Kiper has him as the number one ranked prospect right now for the 2020 class. Number one.
I know. I put a lot of stock in Elite 11.
Hard to pick against
Trent Dilfer. Fell in love with him in the Elite 11.
Right.
I clearly balling at Alabama. I couldn't believe the whipping that they put on Ole Miss, because Ole Miss struck first. They hit the long touchdown pass on Bama, and then Bama just poured it on. I mean,
well, they're just
they're
on another
unstoppable.
Level. I mean, this is the best offense he's had, certainly the best quarterback.
And that
he's
was
had.
On the road. That was at Ole Miss.
I know. As an Ole Miss team that, granted, they played Texas Tech and an FCS school, but they scored 50 and 77.
Yeah.
All right. They got NFL receivers. A.J. Brown will be a first-round pick. And they played them like they were a high school varsity team.
What are your late games? Because I'm coaching on Saturday. I'll probably miss
Stanford,
a good portion of the early
Stanford,
games.
Oregon is probably the one late game, at 8 o'clock game that you're going to want to see. It's a big game in the
Bryce
Pac-12.
Love will be back.
Bryce Love will be back. Yeah, he missed. They played Cal Davis last week. He missed that game, but he'll be back for that game. Yep.
He hasn't really popped this year, has he?
He had one down game, and then he had a pretty big game in week two.
But nothing like last year.
No, but it's still early. I mean, they've only played three games, and he missed one. This will be telling.
What
Oregon played San Jose last week, and their quarterback, Justin Herbert, was awful. In the first half, it's one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen. Now, he played much better in the second half, but that was clearly a look-ahead spot to this game because they were not ready to play that game.
What time do the Terps play? This is the bare whole season.
I think it's noon.
Is it noon?
The Nooner against the Gophers are in town.
I mean, this is the whole season right here. You lose this one, you just no need to even
the whole season and whether it's going to be respectable or an embarrassment.
Right, because you got four guaranteed losers already on the schedule. You know, this is the way it plays out until proven otherwise.
They got to be better. Just like we
is
said,
your
this
fourth game. Michigan State. Michigan State got upset by Arizona State.
They might be able to squeak against
you never
Michigan
know.
State at home.
I would say
they
that
lost
that
to
is
Temple.
Unlikely.
They got smoked by Temple.
Trust me, it's a bad look.
Yeah, it's one thing to lose, but to get smoked by three
Temple. They got mauled by him.
You cannot be.
It's a teaching moment. This is where they turn it around a little bit.
Oh, well, let's hope.
You have to hope so.
Let's hope. Because like we say, the Skins are going to play better this week than they did last week. You got to think Maryland plays better offensively than they did last week.
Yeah, Kasim Hill had a bad day.
Oh, he was
and I think he's pretty good, too. So I think he'll bounce back.
For the second day in a row, the scheduled interview with Rick Fox isn't happening on time. And we had to break.
It's over. He'll never be able to show you. He's been on before. He's a nice guy. He'll never be on again.
Probably not his fault.
Maybe
it is his fault.
Who cares
knows?
Whose fault it is?
He said he had a family emergency.
You're kidding.
She just lied to me.
Yeah.
Who?
So she can't track her down. The PR person?
Somebody from a conference center, whoever was passing through, said, first called right at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Said, oh, I'm sorry, Rick can't come on. He has a family emergency. Do you want to interview someone else from the esports league?
Rick!
Oh, my God. So they're using the bait and switch? They're using Rick
said,
as a bait
no.
and switch? Yeah.
Hung up.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's over. Rick's been on before. We've had him on before.
Yeah.
Probably multiple times.
No longer a fan.
It's over.
Good luck to his team, Echo Fox, in the future.
They only have 27,000 followers anyway on Instagram.
So I can cross Lick Fox off the list.
You can cross him off the list.
All right.
You know how EB always brings up Elizabeth Hurley now whenever there's...
Well, she's the hottest 52-year-old in the world.
you gotta judge this for yourself, but I guess the story just came out. I just saw it. You didn't have it on your entertainment page. Susan Lucci is 71 years old.
Wow.
She's still holding it together.
Oh, my God.
Has she won an Emmy yet or whatever?
I think maybe they gave her a charity.
They might have hooked her.
I think she looks hurting. She's got that skinny neck.
Yeah, but
like that old skinny neck.
She's 71.
Right. Hurting.
I mean, for 71,
sure. Hard.
I mean, her face.
You're talking about the photo where she's in the blue dress or whatever?
No, I think she's on the cover of Bizarre magazine or something. I just saw a story. It just said the story. The headline was Susan Lucci stuns in bikini.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 71.
Yeah, she's about old, dude. You're almost 50.
I'm stunned. Bizarre
it's
magazine
pretty impressive.
Still exists. Yeah. It's still out there.
I maintain Liz Hurley is the hottest 52-year-old. Is she 52? I think.
Okay, but J-Lo is right behind her, basically same
J-Lo's
age.
J-Lo's the hottest 49-year-old in the world, probably.
Right.
I was never even a big J-Lo fan, but J-Lo's actually getting more attractive as she gets older. It's bizarre.
Well, she's definitely better looking than when she was a fly girl. Like, if you see what she looked like back when she did in Living Color.
53. Liz Hurley's the hottest 53-year-old in the world. She owns it. No one can take that title.
It's her age.
She owns
That's
53.
J-Lo
owns 49.
Okay.
She's the hottest 49-year-old in the world.
Who's the hottest 45-year-old in the world?
We got to go to everybody's age.
I don't even know. But we should have a list.
Yes.
You know?
How old is Sharon Stone? She's older. I think
she's got to be like 60,
I would trash now.
She's trash now.
Yeah, she's gross.
She's 60.
Yeah, she's
gross. Well, she's got to be the hottest 60-year-old.
No, she's not.
Pretty freaking hot.
No, she was hot in Basic Instinct. She was a hot 100 years ago.
I would
ago.
Say in their prime, Stone hotter than Hurley.
Sandra Bullock's 45, isn't she? Never mind. That's over 45.
She's got to be over 45.
She's over 50.
I'm still an Aniston guy.
I was always an Aniston. You were a...
No, I like Bullock,
you
too.
You were a Bullock.
I know.
We had
huge
argument.
I still like Bullock, but I think Aniston has surpassed her.
Why did you snooze on We're the Millers? You snooze on that movie.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
It's mediocre.
It's pretty funny. Well, these ones to ask you.
Is Aniston 50 yet?
She's probably right there, right at 49, 50.
49.
Yeah.
Oh, some money.
Well, these ones need to ask you where Courtney Love is on your list.
I'll never
let you live that down. Jason came back from a Courtney Love concert, and he said how hot she was.
He loved Sharon Osbourne.
I know. I said she was cute.
Kelly Osbourne.
I said she was cute.
Yeah, you just
way different than hot.
God, Courtney Love is awful.
It's way different than hot.
Could her lips be any bigger?
Who?
Courtney Love.
Oh, my God. She's disgusting.
She is gross.
Looks like a heroin addict.
I agree.
She looked that way then,
though. She looked money in the concert.
You know who looked hot? Look up how old is Sheryl Crow. She's probably like 55, 56.
Love her.
And I saw her in concert. I was at the Borgata, and I saw her. And, I mean, she's fit. I know that.
I love Sheryl Crow. Is she in her mid-50s?
She's got to be in
She's
her
56.
Oh, I nailed
hottest
that.
Hottest 56-year-old.
She might be the hottest 56-year-old.
She wears the crown for that age.
You know who doesn't look bad?
What?
Michelle Pfeiffer, 54.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Or maybe she's 57.
Now I'm feverishly Googling.
I think I saw her in a movie recently. She's not doing much these days.
This is nerdy, but she was definitely in the second, I think, second Guardians of the Galaxy. Pretty sure she was in that flick.
800-636-1067.
She looks like a Madonna. Like, just starting to just look hurting.
She's 59.
Who?
Pfeiffer, isn't she?
She's up there, yeah.
You're killing 60-year-olds.
She's 60.
Oh, she's 60.
60?
Yeah.
She's held it together pretty good.
How's Christie Brinkley
Because
look?
That wall usually smashes people.
Christie Brinkley looks
40.
Pretty good.
Christie Brinkley's got to be almost... She's got to be 65.
Christie Brinkley's one of those rare birds that I don't know what she's doing, too, but... I mean, obviously a ton of collagen and all that.
Okay.
She's 64.
Is she really?
Yep.
Hottest 64-year-old?
She might be the hottest 64-year-old. You get the chart.
She just got hotter. I looked at her net worth. Yeah. What do you think her net worth is?
250.
I mean, you nailed it right on the head.
Total guess.
$250 million.
Now let's get
How did she amass that?
I mean,
she's been married.
Some of it had to come from Billy Joel,
times.
Right?
Okay.
Did she just take all of Billy Joel's money?
She has her own supermodel money.
Doesn't she have like skincare products and stuff like that she hawks? I think so.
She used to do that
Something
goofy
like that.
Gym with Chuck Norris.
Oh, right.
She's listed as primarily the owner of several companies and real estate. Somehow she's making money on real estate.
Right.
Mark Brunell got felted in real estate, but somehow Christie Brinkley is making millions. Good for her.
Are people calling in hot old ladies?
Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek is up there.
She's 52.
Okay, but
I like Selma.
Or no, 51.
And she's also married to, I think
a really rich guy, right?
Multi-billionaire.
Right.
So that only helps.
We gotta have an official list. Of who's the hottest for what age.
Yeah, I agree.
And we got a couple of these. We got a couple of them covered. We got 49. Are you giving Aniston the 49?
Betty White. The hottest.
Yes.
She might wear the crown.
Yes.
Think of a hotter 95-year-old than Betty White.
I think we got to give.
I defy you.
Aniston 49.
I mean, I bet you can find... No, this I'm giving J-Lo 49.
This is a very unscientific list we're coming up
J-Lo's
with.
J-Lo's hotter than Aniston.
Oh, that's a
close
good debate.
Second.
J-Lo or Aniston?
Yeah. Come on, man.
I'm going to take Aniston, but...
Well, if Aniston would flaunt herself a little bit like J-Lo's doing...
J-Lo's butt's too big for me.
It looks nice these days. She's toned
How
down
How old's
a
Gina
bit.
Gershon now?
Oh, she's
Maybe crazy. They're looking at that big butt of yours.
You like all these, like, mediocre chicks.
Well, Gina
no,
Gershon,
I've seen her on TV. She still looks good.
Jason likes the mid-majors.
Yeah.
Gina Gershon was hot when she was in her prime.
So check her out
like,
on
she
Red
did, like,
Oaks
one
on
hot
Amazon.
Lesbian movie, and then you think she's hot.
What movie was that? I don't know what movie
you had, like, a makeout.
Bound.
Bound, yeah.
She was in Showgirls, too, back in the day. She was born in 62, so that puts her at 56.
Pretty hot for 56.
Go to,
hey, if we're going to do hottest 70-year-olds, Helen Mirren's on my list.
Go to Alan Frederick. I think, didn't Kevin say he would get sized? Kevin's like one of those guys that would have like a fetish for like old ladies. Alan!
Good morning, boys.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Diane Lane. Don't know how you guys forgot her.
Oh, yeah, Diane Lane, definitely.
How old is
she?
That's
from,
it's all about the age.
Unfaithful?
Yes.
Yes.
That guy was so bitter. Richard Gere smashed him in the head.
Snow globe. He's not a big fan of snow globe.
Then he wrapped him up in the carpet and dragged him and stuffed him in the trunk of the
car. I still don't know how he lifted him up to the elevator shaft.
How many times did you think of the history of the show we've talked about the snow globes?
100.
Hey, let me give you another one. Always like Kelly Preston. I don't know how old she is.
She's
John Travolta's wife.
She's got to be mid-50s, maybe late,
I don't think she
50s.
Holds up. Does she still hold up?
I think she's pretty strong.
She's 55.
She's got to hold up at 55.
You got to put in 2018 because you got to see the current pick.
Right.
You can't just Google her name.
All right.
Right? Because then you're going to get an old hurting pick.
I've seen her recently. She looked pretty good.
Kelly Preston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's had a lot of.
Now, John Travolta looks weird. Right? Hasn't he got weird looking?
Yeah, I Kelly Preston, she's not even in the top 100.
Yes, she is.
No, she's
you're high.
You won't come up with your list of top 100 56-year-old women.
Right.
What about Courtney Cox?
No, she ruined herself too with all that Botox or whatever she did. She ruined herself. I don't know why.
All those women in Hollywood have had it.
Whatever Liz Hurley's doing, do that.
Yeah,
it's just
copy
a little.
Her.
It's just a little bit.
But I'm telling you, going back to my original point, Elizabeth Hurley is 20 years younger than Susan Lucci. That's the story that I saw today, and I'm not saying that I looked at it and was like, "Oh, that's amazing."
Susan Lucci just
skinny.
But
for somebody who's 71,
she's just all too skinny.
I will say this:
she fanned up a little bit.
You take makeup off all these girls' faces; they're all trolls.
No, it's not true.
Oh yeah, let me show you one of Courtney Cox.
No, I told you Courtney Cox looks terrible.
She looks like your butt. I'm telling you, you take a makeup
my
off all these girls.
I'm looking a little bit better. I'm doing more squats and rollerblading.
Kelly Preston's in my list. Kelly Preston.
All right, let's go to, is it Domino? Fats Domino calling in. Domino,
hey, Domino
what's up,
was
buddy?
A rapper, too. What
nah,
do you got one
nah,
song?
Nah. It's Domo.
Domo. But,
Hey, hey, put some sisters on y'all list, man. Holly Berry and Angela Bassett, man.
Angela, how old's Bassett?
Angela Bassett.
She's got to be
65. Bassett's like 60, man.
All right, you'd That's do true. It. I don't know what.
I'll put Holly Berry though. Can't argue with that.
Yeah, y'all sleeping on the melanin, man.
Yeah, give me some more though. Who else are we sleeping on? Who else are we?
Hey, why you need more? I gave you two, man. That's all you need right now.
All right. Yeah, you know, it's Holly Berry. Who's Holly Berry?
It's not Holly. It's Hallie.
Hallie
52.
Berry. Hey, you know we mispronounce everything out here, man.
Definitely.
All right,
thanks, buddy.
Hey, what about what about Terry Hatcher, 53?
Let me see. Do you have a 2018 picture of her?
You can't. Yeah,
she's real skinny though.
D Wade's wife. Now we're going over. 50.
No, she's hurt.
She's 40. She's not hurt.
I'm Terry Hatcher.
I'm talking about Gabrielle Union.
Yeah, Gabrielle Union.
You know how old is she?
45.
Yeah, she's up there. You know we're sleeping on Cindy Crawford. How old is Cindy Crawford?
Oh, she's gotta be washed up and hurt.
You think everyone is? Everyone I say, they're all.
Yeah, I don't get. Yeah,
fives.
You have a weird taste.
She's 52.
Hey, what about what? You know how you did
I have
your
weird taste. She's a supermodel.
She was.
What do you think? She's
she still
ugly
looks
now?
Good.
I guarantee she does.
Remember how we did like our top five movie lists of all time?
Yeah.
Why don't you guys do your top five
over 50?
Over 50 list, and then we can put them up on the Facebook page, and we can have the listeners rank.
How
who's
many are
hot.
On the list? 10. You said you said five.
Top five. Top five. What age do we go up
many
to?
On the top five?
List? No, I didn't hear him say that.
What
I
age think, do we go up to?
50 and over.
Up to.
You can
up
go up
to.
To
oh, up to.
You go up to 80.
You get yeah, support if you find five. A silly 70-year-old.
If you think your great-grandma is on your list.
Maybe that's right what around, you could do. It could be a sliding
I'm
scale.
I'm going to stay right around 50.
So hold on. If you
you kind of get extra points
extra
if you pick
points
a sleeper.
The older you pick. You got to figure that out. So like a 10 for a 52, a 10 for a 70 is way more valuable.
So if I threw in Raquel Welch, is she alive?
There's no 10 70s.
Raquel Welch, I'm going to guess alive.
Well, no. You'll probably give her like a five, but because of her age, it gets multiplied a little bit.
Well, who's deciding what
we
the points
to,
are?
We have to figure out that math.
All right.
Very it's a sliding scale.
Let's go to Corey. Corey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Good morning. little disappointed in you guys this morning.
Why?
Al McPherson, 54.
All right.
Well, yeah, if you just started thinking of old swimsuit issue chicks, I'm sure they still probably all look really good.
Look like at
Howard Pappy Ireland.
Yeah. All right, Elle McPherson's got to be on the list. Money.
Do we have like we need like a picture of her like at the beach, frolicking at the beach?
I got one right here.
You do?
Yeah,
but is it from 2018? Which is a good point.
You got
a lot of times you go to Google, images are 5 years old.
I did, but who knows how old they are? Right. We have no idea.
I have some here. She looks pretty good.
She looks bald in this picture.
Is she 53?
Look at this. Her pants are basically off, walking down the beach. Her bikini's basically
off. Who's the one that does America's Got Talent? She's got to be close to 50. Heidi Klum?
Heidi Klum.
She's on it. She's got to be on it.
I think Seal. That used to be Seal.
It's a creepy segment.
Well, this is what happens segment. When Lip doesn't call
right,
us.
See Rick Fox? Now so he starts looking at older 50 chicks.
What happens if Les Carpenter doesn't call the next segment?
That's Rick Fox.
I promise. Next segment Carpenter we'll do dudes.
No. I promise we'll do chicks in their 20s. All right, we'll get back. We'll get our edge
we'll
back.
We'll pivot.
What are we doing looking at hot 50-year-olds?
I just Googled hot 70-year-old women.
Who came up? Helen Mirren?
Helen Mirren was in the mix. I think Stevie Nicks was in the mix.
Stevie Nicks?
Oh, she's so fat. Are you kidding me?
Susan Sarandon?
No, why do I feel like going to Bruce the Hugger now? Is he ready?
No, not at all.
They haven't been there.
So unprepped.
Right. Let's go real quick to Mike. Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. You guys are top of the list at 45 would be Kate Beckinsale.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I like her.
That's solid.
Kate Beckinsale, 2018. Where's she from, Cakes? What's her whole deal?
England. She's definitely English.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, she's definitely an attractive girl.
Carmen Electra looks a little money in the bikini.
Nuh-uh.
46.
Carmen Electra's only 46?
I'm going to send you this link. Top 40 over 40 in bikinis.
Right.
In bikinis.
Do they have a top 50, too?
Get one bikinis? That starts at top 50. Carmen Electra, I used to get sized for her back in the day. Like back in the MTV
How could
days.
You not?
Yeah. Daisy Fuentes.
Dime. Oh, yeah. What happened to her? Join us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline to talk some Redskins. Covers the Redskins for the Washington Post. This is Les Carpenter. Hey, Les.
Hey, how's it going today?
What's up, Les?
So, all right.
Let's start with the wide receivers. You've covered them now for two games here. And Josh Doctson and Paul Richardson really haven't done anything dramatic for them other than, you know, a couple drops and a couple catches, but not much. And, of course, this week they bring in a couple new receivers. What are you seeing there? Are the guys just not getting open? Or is Alex Smith not taking shots? Why are we not seeing throws downfield?
Oh, it's probably a mix of a lot of things. And don't forget, too, that we talked about this a lot towards the end of the preseason. They didn't have a lot of game time together with the new quarterback, Alex Smith, because I think everyone was worried, let's make sure we don't get anybody hurt. So I would throw that in the mix as well, that there probably just still isn't that game timing between everybody yet. But if you look at the first game, I mean, they ran the ball so well and did so well with those kind of short little screen passes that the running backs, I mean, really wasn't much of a need to get the receivers involved. This week it looked a little more dramatic, especially because the Redskins were playing from behind most of the game. It's probably a mix of things. They didn't do a good job of getting open in that kind of soft zone that Indianapolis was playing. I'd also say that looking at a couple of the plays, some of the receivers, you know, were getting beat up a little bit, getting, you know, out into their roots. Maybe they would run into players or they just weren't doing a good enough job of winning those little battles, those little physical battles to get open at the beginning. And Alex Smith probably needs to take a few more shots. You know, that is the one thing you kind of have to remember about him is he is going to be careful with the ball. I wonder if, you know, you look at that game and say, well, maybe he had taken a couple chances. Yeah, it might have worked out, but he could have had a couple bad interceptions too, and so maybe things wouldn't have. There's a lot of reasons the Redskins lost that game, but it's easy to look at the receivers in the passing game right now and say, gosh, it just hasn't taken off yet.
Mm-hmm. It was just such a stark contrast in the way they played in week one. I know a lot of that, you know, obviously is matchups and who you're playing against. But then DJ Swearinger said afterwards, I think he said it on Grant and Danny's show, that, you know, there may be that a little complacency. It's impossible to believe that team could be complacent after one game, but that, you know, they didn't practice that well. You know, he says all this after the fact. Was there any hint of that leading into the game to sort of give that opinion any validity?
No, but again, that's going to be hard to see sometimes. For instance, we don't watch the practices, so you don't know how the practices themselves are going. I think this team likes each other, and that's an interesting sort of thing to watch this year because teams don't always bond as well, and I think this one has. And maybe it got a little loose. Maybe guys felt a little, you know, overexcited after that first game. I think they believe in themselves more than maybe some teams and maybe some other Redskins teams in the past have. So maybe that did kind of settle in a little bit. It's funny. Everyone started picking up the thing about the offensive linemen wearing the shirts and ties to practice on Friday. What did Trent call it? The Business Friday. And suddenly Business Friday was every example of what's wrong with this team and its loose attitude and unprofessionalism. Of course, if they had pulled that game out, it would have been, gosh, what an example of how together this team is. And look at it, they're doing Business Friday. So, sometimes these things can get overblown after losses, and the other way around, it can get overblown after wins. I think the test will come with the cohesiveness of this group if it stays together and it continues to be as close now that they've faced some adversity. I'd kind of like to see how that goes over the next couple of weeks.
Joined by Les Carpenter, covers the Washington Redskins for the Washington Post.
We've talked about the lack of pass rush the first couple of games, but there are some statistics which actually say the Redskins are better than you expect rushing the passer. Andrew Luck got rid of the ball so fast, maybe they didn't have a chance to sack him, but they had 16 pressures in the game, and Jonathan Allen right now ranks in the top six for Pro Football Focus's grade for interior defensive linemen, and I believe Matt Ioannidis is even better than that. He's got the second best pressure rate among all interior linemen.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways you throw out whatever happened in the first game because you're playing against Sam Bradford and he's not going to be very mobile, and you know, just Arizona was just obviously out of sync as they apparently have been all season. But if you look at the Indianapolis game, sometimes pressuring Andrew Luck is the worst thing you can do. I thought they did get at least a little bit of a rush against him, and I didn't necessarily think that was the problem the other day. I thought the real problem the Redskins faced was that they were just getting constantly picked in the secondary. I mean, over and over and over again. And if you kind of watch the replay of that one touchdown, it kind of, you know, sealed the game. But where Josh Norman sort of standing on the goal line, he's got T.Y. Hilton on one side catching the ball, and he's got another guy open on the other side. If you watch that play as it sort of, you know, kind of came together, I don't know how the Redskins possibly could have defended it. And it just, there were so many options for Luck. If maybe you don't have a quarterback as smart as Luck or can see the field as well as him, you know, maybe that play doesn't work as well. But gosh, when you have a guy like him and you have a guy like Frank Reich designing plays, I think sometimes people kind of forget about just how good Reich is as an offensive mind. I mean, remember, this guy did out-duel Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl. And, you know, I thought Indianapolis just executed really, really, really well in that game. And there were just so many little things that they were able to do. And, you know, kind of once receivers got out onto the field a little bit in the tight ends, that I just felt the secondary was frustrated the entire day.
So what is your take on this Green Bay team? You know, obviously when you think of Green Bay, first thing you think of is Aaron Rodgers. And I know I chalked it up in the preseason. We like to go through the schedule. I go, well, you know, I think they're going to lose to Aaron Rodgers. I'd pick, even though we have had some success, I'd pick Aaron Rodgers every single time. But it's not a great Packers team. I certainly think they're going to play better this week.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, remember when I was on a couple weeks ago, when you guys made the point about, you know, gosh, look at all the great quarterbacks the Redskins are going to play this year. And it's true, but then I start looking around the rest of the league, got me thinking. I started counting up the quarterbacks in the league, and I'm thinking, you know, most teams can say they're going to play, you know, half their games against great quarterbacks. I mean, it's just the quarterback play at the upper level in this league is so good. So, I see this as a test with Rodgers. It's obviously physically he's diminished in ability to not run around, but it looked like he did just fine standing in the pocket like Tom Brady the other day. It's going to be a good test for this team. If the Redskins get the kind of pressure they got, the other day, I think they can make a dent. I just don't think they're going to run into something like they did last week with just so many picks in the secondary. Even if Green Bay tries that, I think they'll, you know, kind of compensated for that. I expect it to be a good game. I really think that this is a good opportunity, a good test for this Redskins team. And I think the way that they want to play physically, it should match up pretty well against Green Bay.
Rob Kelly's dealing with a toe injury. He goes to the IR, assuming that Perine gets activated against the Packers. Is there another roster move coming to help shore up that running back spot, or are they good with what they have at this point?
I don't know. That's a good question. Let's see kind of how they're going to try and fit these receivers in and what they want to do. At first look at this, I would say that they would probably stick with what they got. The question is going to be, is the Adrian Peterson we saw last week just kind of an anomaly and just a bad offensive day for the team? Or, you know, is this kind of maybe what we're going to get? Maybe one good game and a couple, you know, off games. I don't know. So I think that's probably something they're going to ask. But at this point, I'd probably assume they're going to go with the guys that they've got and not, you know, bring anyone else. Yeah, you know, I guess the one move would be Capri Bibbs moving him up, but I don't know if they want to do that or not.
So, Les, this is always a tough, you know, question to answer, but how many points do you think the Skins offense needs to score to beat Aaron Rodgers?
That's a good question.
And can they get there?
Yeah, I think you have to, when you're talking about playing Aaron Rodgers, don't you usually think you have to score maybe three, four touchdowns, I would think?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Minnesota had last week, right? I think. Mm-hmm. Of course, he hit your field goals. I would think you need to try and score something close to 28 points. Can they get there? We haven't seen that yet from this offense. I think it's there, but until we see it, I don't know. They certainly struggled so much to move the ball downfield. And until proven otherwise, yeah, I think you have to leave that as a question out there.
I don't know. Obviously, I feel foolish now because they're not really, they didn't do anything in that game. But I really felt like they had the weapons. I love the 1-2 punch with Peterson and Thompson. And Thompson's been fantastic. And even though Richardson's not a household name, I feel like he could stretch the field. Though we haven't seen any of that. But I feel like, that's why he was brought here. Doxson's been obviously a huge disappointment. But I feel like he was supposed to be the fourth or fifth option anyway because you got Jordan Reed. You got Thompson, you got, Richardson, you've got AP and these other guys. I don't know. I still feel like they have plenty of weapons.
Well, I think that's what they felt. I mean, again, stepping into this a little cold, in August as I did and joining the post, I sort of asked these questions around to kind of get a feel very quickly of what people thought. And the answer always kept coming back was, yes, this is the team. These are the weapons. I think Jake Gruden really, with Crowder, he really has, I think he used the word special to me the other day. I think they really truly believe that, yes, these are the guys, these are the weapons. But, the fact now you're bringing in Michael Floyd and you're bringing in Bashar Perriman. And I don't know what those guys will be. I don't think we, can realistically sit here and say, yeah, these are going to be the saviors. They're not going to be the saviors, but Perriman's a speed guy. And, when he was, in shape and healthy and all that Floyd was certainly an upper level receiver in this league. So, I don't think they're just there to be practice squad, or to be special teams players or just, be guys out there at practice. I mean, these guys are here to make some kind of a contribution. So I would think that there's at least a little sense of panic that this hasn't taken off yet.
All right, Les. It's Les Carpenter, covers the Redskins for the Washington Post. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, pal.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Yep. All right. It's Les Carpenter, everybody.
Somebody who's not underutilized, our friend Bruce calling in.
Oh, he is underutilized.
Got to get him in. By the way, this is kind of weird. He's usually on a Thursday, right? Today's Wednesday.
Yeah. What's going on?
It's kind of weird, but it's fine.
Is he busy tomorrow?
You guys are slipping over there. You guys forgot.
Good morning, junkies. I got an announcement to make.
Go ahead, Bruce.
It's time for Bruce. Best Kate the Let's Fox Paul.
No idea.
All right,
it's time
about
for Bruce's,
time for
best,
Bruce's
bet.
Best bet.
Take the under
on Rick Fox calling.
Hey, Bruce. Good zing.
Can you just say Wayne Rooney?
What?
Can you just say Wayne Rooney?
Rooney? Love Mandy.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce, why'd
love
you call Mandy?
Bruce,
it's
why'd
Wayne
you call
Rooney. Ralph Mandy.
I want to hear it. Wayne Rooney.
He can't.
Bruce, why'd
Mickey
you call
Rooney.
Yeah, Mickey.
Mickey Rooney.
That's Mickey.
Bruce,
that's
why'd
dad.
You call on Wednesday instead of Thursday? Did
because
you forget?
Drab was away.
Gotta run, Bruce.
All right, we gotta get out of here. That's Bruce. We're the
love
junkies.
Love you, buddy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.